May I ask a question? I have just newly ordained as a monk and am training in the practices for a monk. My question is in regards to respect for seniority, that a monk should respect those monks that have ordained for longer than us. During the Buddha's time, were there any instances when a monk had less seniority but had more Dhamma? And then in this situation, how does the more senior monk give respect to the Dhamma or to each other? This is an interesting question and topic, because this respecting of seniority has been practiced since the time of the Buddha. The teacher and the disciple are like a father and a son. A preceptor and the ordained monk are like a father and a son. They look after each other in that way. The preceptor has the duty to look after the monks and novices, looking after and making sure that they have a sufficient amount of their four basic requisites in regards to their alms food, their robes and cloth requisites, their living accommodation and medicines to cure any sicknesses. They also look after their disciples' Dhamma practice and teach them the Vinaya, the monks' code of discipline. They are a teacher and advisor of the newly ordained monks, and they have a heart of kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity towards their disciples. The disciples, the monks and novices, in return do their duties towards their teacher or preceptor, that is, looking after their basic needs according to their ability and appropriateness, listening and paying attention to their teachings, reflecting on them and using them to practice with, learning and knowing the Dhamma Vinaya. In this, it doesn't mean that the teacher is skilled at every subject. Our great teacher, Venerable Ajahn Chah, taught something that is worth reflecting on about this topic. During the time I was at Wat Nong Pa Phong and attending on Venerable Ajahn Chah, there was a novice monk who was about 10 years old. This novice had the duty to boil water and look after and attend to Venerable Ajahn Chah for his various food and evening tea needs. This novice would put his robes on very beautifully. It was put on just the right length. There is a training rule in the monk's discipline where a monk should put on their robes well. Every time this novice would put on his robe, he would do so that it was beautiful and just right. He wouldn't let the robe be pulled up too short or fall down too long, at the back or the front. Venerable Ajahn Chah said in one of his talks, "Look at this novice. He likely has some wisdom. Go learn on how to put on your robe from him." Sometimes Venerable Ajahn Chah would also say, "You don't need to just listen to him to give Dhamma sermons. Even if a junior monk or a lay person, they talk with Dhamma, then it's worth listening to." So we should reflect on this. Venerable Ajahn Chah had wisdom and didn't have any attachments or cravings anymore. He saw everything in terms of Dhamma. He taught us to practice like this. For myself, the next day, I went to call that novice. "Hey novice Tong Suk, come here, show me how you put on your robe so that I can learn." So he put on his robes beautifully and I followed him and learned from him how to put on the robe properly and beautifully as well. This novice was able to follow this aspect of the monk's practice well. It's not that every monk will put on their robes beautifully. Those monks that aren't interested in putting on their robes beautifully are a lot. So you can go learn with the novice or that monk that does put on his robes well. We put down our ego and pride. Then we will get good things from that. Not that we are a senior monk and we don't give in to anyone at all. It isn't correct to think that we are more senior, and even if you are better, but because you are still junior, so I don't have to be interested in you. So you have to look at the Dhamma as well. In the Buddha's time, there was a very senior and well-respected monk who was very learned and thoroughly versed in the scriptures. He even had many disciples, even many Arahant disciples. But when the Buddha called him, the Buddha called him Venerable Empty Scripture. If it was us, we probably wouldn't be able to take it. If we were such a big teacher, we wouldn't be able to handle it. So what did he do? When he decided that he would practice and learn from others, they wouldn't accept him. He was too well respected that his disciples, who were Arahants, were afraid to accept their senior teacher and teach him. So he couldn't go to anyone. No one was willing to teach him. he eventually found one novice who was an arahant and asked this novice to teach him. The novice said, "I can teach you, but you have to do whatever I say." The senior monk had nowhere else to go, so he agreed. The senior monk put on all his robes beautifully, and the novice arahant told him to walk into this muddy swamp. So the senior monk did that and walked into the swamp until he was full of mud, up to his neck and chin. He could let go of his pride and ego and could accept others. His pride and ego of being a senior monk was let go of. Then the novice said that that's enough, you can come back now. So then the novice taught him a meditation object. He taught him that if there is a termite mound with 6 holes or entrances, close them all till there's just one left. Just watch at that one point. It means to close off the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body till just the mind is watching over the mind. The senior monk followed this teaching, watched over the mind, and the mind entered into samadhi, concentration, and he was able to attain to becoming an arahant. He learned meditation from a little novice, but the novice wasn't little at all. You have to see these two things, that on the outside there is a novice, but on the inside he was a great senior monk who was an arahant who had no more mental defilements. On the other side, there may be on the outside a monk with many years as a monk, but on the inside there aren't many years at all. The outside and inside are different like this. So this is something to reflect on. The ones who have ordained a long time shouldn't attach that they have ordained longer than others. That is holding on to views and ego, holding on to a sense of self more and more. It shouldn't be like that. It should be that when someone becomes more senior in years as a monk, with every year, they should have this sense of self growing smaller and smaller. The individuals with Dhamma like this, even if we are senior monk, and we have no Dhamma ourselves, then we have to respect those that have Dhamma. If what a junior monk says is Dhamma, then we have to listen and reflect on that, because we still have defilements, so we have to think in a different way, that we have ordained now before them, and they are a novice or a newly ordained monk, but in their past life, they may have been a very senior monk who have died and had a lot of barami or spiritual perfections and was reborn. Now they are staying with us and born later than us, but they have more barami than us. We have to see whether they have knowing and abilities and barami. We should have heard of an individual in the Zen Mahayana tradition, Venerable Hui Neng. He came new to this temple and had duties in the kitchen. There was a senior monk who was a supreme patriarch who came to visit this temple. He knew that Hui Neng had wisdom. He asked his followers to write a stanza about the Bodhi tree and the mirror. The head instructor at the temple wrote the stanza, "The body is the Bodhi tree. The mind is like a clear mirror. At all times we must strive to polish it and must not let the dust collect." But this monk hadn't let go of that the mind isn't ours. It meant that he still had the self, the mind, and the dust collecting. Hui Neng wrote the stanza, "There is no Bodhi tree, there is no mirror. It is all emptiness and pure. Where will the dust collect?" The head patriarch knew that this individual had enlightened. So he met Hui Neng privately at night. He gave his bowl and robes to Hui Neng and left the temple. The meaning of this gift was that he had given the title of the next patriarch to Hui Neng. You can see that although Hui Neng came and ordained after, but he was fully imbued with mindfulness and wisdom. So you can't say that the senior monk is more attained or less attained, but the senior monks have to have kindness and consideration to the junior monks. It isn't that the senior monks use the junior monks and novices to do chores excessively. They should have kindness and use them to do what is appropriate according to their strength and also have kindness within their hearts. The junior monks have to have a mind that is respectful and lower themselves and learn properly. Even if they have Dhamma in their hearts, they will then show even more respect to their seniors. They don't show respect to the four elements of the body, the five khandhas or heaps that we attach to as a self, but they respect the Dhamma and in the Dhamma. That is, the Buddha taught to respect seniority, so they respect that teaching and instruction, that is respecting the Dhamma. Venerable Ajahn Tongrat, who was Venerable Ajahn Chah's teacher, he would often teach like a Zen master as well. He would be strict in the practices of respect and reverence, but he would also see in terms of Dhamma. And this important foundation was emphasized to Venerable Ajahn Chah, and this is what Venerable Ajahn Chah taught us in turn. Venerable Ajahn Chah taught us that we shouldn't attach to and have pride and ego that we are a senior monk. We can't do that. This seniority is simply a convention that there is an I that has ordained a long time. That is a convention. There is a them that is more junior to us. That is also a convention. The important thing is that the heart needs to have Dhamma. This is a principle of Dhamma practice and an important aspect that the Thai forest tradition follows consistently. Like when the monks take their food for the daily meal in order of seniority, it shouldn't be that we are more senior and so we take lots of food just for ourselves and those junior to us don't have enough food. Make sure it gets to everyone. To not consider those at the end of the food line is using one's authority of seniority wrongly. This shows one lacks the Dhamma quality of kindness. A junior monk might have Dhamma and is a very good monk, but the senior monk doesn't like them. The senior monk may actively try to not let them prosper and try to hold them back. This is then like the society in the worldly sense, where the people higher up try to not let this talented individual prosper. They push them down so they won't flourish. This isn't right. If they have Dhamma, then we need to accept this. The Dhamma and the Vinaya combine well together in harmony. There isn't any problem. It's up to the individual's heart who practices it. Whatever level of Vinaya our understanding is up to, then we aim to practice and to let go of this sense of self. Learning from a novice is nothing difficult. We acknowledge that we are not skilled and that they are more skilled than us. The novice is more skilled in putting on his robes and can do so beautifully, so they show us. I can still remember clearly how that novice put on his robe, how beautiful it was and how well he did it. He would pull up the robe till it's just the right length and it would look good. That novice himself learnt from a senior monk. He didn't learn it by himself. A senior monk taught him, but the novice could follow and practice it, and the important thing is that he did it every day properly and beautifully. He was also a child with a good character and was well behaved. Whoever saw him would gain faith. Putting the robe on like this, see? We watch them twice how they do it, and then we learn and we can do this as well. This is how we learn this skill. Venerable Ajahn Chah learned this way as well. Venerable Ajahn Chah gave this teaching to everyone, but I was the only one who went to go learn off that novice. So I ended up learning that skill off that novice. But it was really learning the skill from Venerable Ajahn Chah, because I would listen to whatever Venerable Ajahn Chah would teach, and I would follow that and practice it. And from that practice, then I could do that as well. This is important. Staying close to a good teacher and practicing. Venerable Ajahn Chah taught us to get rid of our ego and pride and our sense of self. It isn't just that we learn from the great teachers, but we can learn from a novice or a lay person. If they speak good Dhamma, then we can listen. We reflect on this, and this gets rid of our ego and pride. This is important.